Blog Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Come on, make a last retreat before they
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything's straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, Attorneys at Law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help run their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com on the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends. I'm your host, KD Barnett, and I hope everybody heard what was said in the beginning because there's a little bit of a delayed stream glitch here. Okay, that was Joe with Compromise. You also heard my tribute to the New York Knicks because they won against the Denver Nuggets tonight, and, you know, those are my boys. Tonight's topic, everybody, is called I Love You, But I Need More Time. Is this a game or fear? Now, I had a very interesting broadcast discussion today with my listeners, and, you know, I was expecting a little bit of the men coming at it, oh, yeah, right, he's gaming, he's doing this, but that didn't happen. And it's this topic tonight is based on a couple that I know, and they are a very... they're a very well-fitting couple if this particular problem wasn't in the way. But I've seen this happen, and I'm sure most of you out there have as well, where one person or the other, either there's a game involved with one of them, and usually it falls on the guys, but as I said before, as those of you that listened in, women are just as open nowadays to doing certain things, and we can be just as devious. But this is an older couple, okay? They're not young. They've been friends. They started out with social media, found out they lived in the same area, became friends. They were friends for 2 years on social media. They were friends for 2 years, you know, after that, dated a while after that. And then both of them realized that they love each other. Both of them want, you know, are involved. There's no other person for the other one. However, one of them knew automatically, and ironically, in this case, it was the man, okay, who was bringing up marriage repeatedly. But for some reason, you know, it seemed like every single time that he brought it up or he opened up his heart to his lady. Like, either he was going to to catch himself or whatever, and he freaked out and started doing, you know, other things that sort of went against what he was saying. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do let me explain to you that this, the love between these two people is very real, and it's very much in existence. There's not anybody out there, not from what I see or what's been done, that this person has, you know, game or they're out there trying to chase skirts or anything like that. But also, what you don't know is that this person lost a very important loved one to them. And my question is, based on what you're hearing, do you believe that this is a game with this person, or is he being a really good actor? Is he just trying to keep her in the wings because she's a good person to him and he doesn't want to give up on her, or at least give up what he has with her? Or is it just that he wants to play his game until he feels he's ready, and it's a game? So that's the question on the table tonight. And what makes this happen? Now, I know a lot of times, you know, even at an older age, there's fears involved. I mean, love and respect is scary because it's the one thing that there's no backup for. You know, if you lose your house, you can save money, get another house. If your car got into an accident, you know, you can get a new car somewhere down the line, or you can get a loaner in between. But when it comes down to something that can affect you emotionally, you're out of control because there's things that you can pretend to walk away with and move on for, but your mind and your heart is saying something that you're trying to get away from. You can't control it. And I guess that's where a lot of things happen. You start worrying about who's going to take what from you. Are you going to lose yourself? This is, and I'm not speaking about those of you that are out there that are just trying to get your groove on and keep it moving. I'm speaking about people who are relationship-oriented, okay? People who want to be involved and committed, and they are looking for that long-term life experience, okay? So you gentlemen and you ladies that are out there, do you believe it's a game? Is this person playing a game on this lady? Okay, she didn't ask for it. She didn't say it, but she loves him, and she was happy that that's his way of thinking. Should she hang out with him and go another year or two? Or should they speak? What do you think is the solution to this, and what do you think is behind it? Go on to our first panelist for the evening. Welcome to the show, Corey. You're on the air.
Good evening, Lady Barnett.
Hi, Deacon. You sound a little down. You good?
Yeah, I'm a little under the weather, but I'll be okay.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. All right, Deacon, what do you think about the topic?
Well, it all depends on if they're really being honest with each other to the point is, well, it's kind of a real sticky situation, it seems like. Maybe the one person on one end has been damaged in some kind of way that they sort of have like a fear of just following through on it because the damage that was done has been, you know, long lingering, and they find it hard to really trying to really, you know, move on to something newer and better. You know, so it all depends on what the situation is, and that one person that's having a hard time to open up or to follow through on it needs to just, hey, sit down and just lay all your cards on the table and let the other person know what's going on. Why is there hesitation? You know, because sometimes it may be a game, and then sometimes it may not. So, and from what you're telling me, I don't think it's a game. You said that you know that they both really do love each other, and so. If that one person that has a hesitation, that just needs to sit down and put their cards on the table and just be straightforward and honest with the other person.
I think what made it so shame for me is that the person that's having the problem is the one that introduced marriage to the whole situation. I mean, women, we're most of us pretty much want that to happen, but this was never said from her. It was said from him.
Or it was set from him.
Right. He brought it to the table. He said he was looking for a wife, and he didn't expect. Actually, like I said, they were friends for a little while on social media, found out they lived in the same area, which I guess made it all the more better for them. And then they actually got to date and, you know, be together and everything and realized, wait, this is really going good. So that went on about a year, and then a little bit longer after that, I think it was like 2 years now, going into three. And it's like he, throughout the whole thing, it's him talking marriage. It's him talking marriage. And she's just pretty much complying, you know, of, well, eventually at least I know he loves me and, you know, and I'm going to be there with him and the whole nine. And then what happens is he'll, like, there's days that, you know, he won't, they won't talk to each other because he'll pick up the phone and he'll text his feelings because he can't really talk, or he asks her for time. And it's like, I see her actually, like, struggling with believing that he's telling the truth, but knowing him at the same time. That's not our thing. So my question is, do you think that she should just say, you know what, let's just call it quits for now and see what you come up with, or should you just move on with your lives or whatever the case is? But what would you do in the situation? What do you think should be done in that situation?
Well, since you said that it's him the one that's pushing this marriage thing, there's something's not right with that picture. You know, maybe she should back away from him for a while.
She's thinking that maybe she should just move on and just count it as, like, I love him and I'm always
Yeah,
love
because
him,
if that's what he really wants, that's what she needs to do, is just back away from him. If he really wants it, you know, he'll do what he has to do to win her back. You know, if that's what he really wants. But if he's playing the game, it'll all come out in the wash. It'll all come out in the wash. Whatever's done in the dark will come to the light.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm speaking from an outsider. I haven't observed them and everything, and it's like I don't think that he's totally plain, but there's things that there's some things that I find strange. It could just be the way he's dealing with it. He did lose somebody in his life that he used to be a bad boy. When he settled down with the mate that he lost, you know, he changed, but then lost her. And then you lost her to death, so it wasn't like she moved on. You know, she was killed, and it's like, I'm wondering if that's the situation.
Could be the situation, too, also. You know, he's afraid of losing somebody else again.
But why bring it up? Why be the person to initiate it? That's my question. Why be the person to initiate it and then freak yourself out? You know, especially if the person in your life is all for it, but it's not mentioning it to you or is not saying it to you, you know. And I don't like to be a person to give relationship advice with someone involved, meaning like I'm not going to tell me, oh, girl, you should leave him or, nah, man.
Okay,
that's
let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this. Has that person, has the man gone and talked to somebody about his loss? Because if he hasn't, maybe he's still having a difficult time dealing with that, even though he says one thing, but in his consciousness, he's not realizing, you know, something that's making him hesitate. You know, as he went and talked to somebody about the situation that he went through. Do you know that?
That I know of. I think he has, and I believe he's also very, very spiritual. So I know that from what I know of, I mean, I haven't seen any professional people in his life or know about that. I know she's never mentioned it, but it's just that my thing is, it's, you know, like I always used to hear from my grandparents, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Right.
Don't try to fix it. So my question is, if it's going great and the person loves you and you're there and, you know, you can count on this person and you know you have a really good person in your life, and if that's your intention, then why bring it up and then freak yourself out? That's my question.
Yeah.
You know, why bring it up? Because that's what the problem is. Because not only does, like, when he freaks himself out, he, like, disappears. You know, he doesn't, you know, and then he'll come up with all sorts of things, like, you know, my phone was down or, you know. My question is, and I'm really asking, because I know that men do things way different than women. Women will cry it out. We're not embarrassed to say we got hurt. We're not embarrassed to say that he cheated or whatever the case is. And we'll deal with it, and we'll bounce back regardless. We'll try again. Men won't.
Right.
In this case, very few men open up and talk about marriage, like be the first one to mention it, except those that have that there's some people with a disorder. There's guys that like to have many children and will take all the men knowing that he's broke as a stone. And then there's guys that just like to use the word love because, you know, saying, putting the spin on it that it really is, meaning you're just trying to hit the skins pretty much, is too ugly in his own mind. So he tries to spin it up like, you know, I'm a lover, not a fighter. I love you. This is making love. This is, not, you know, it's not sex. And it's like they really believe that garbage. They really believe that, you know, if I'm not walking up to you in a club and just saying, yo, I want to hit it, then it's a love thing, or it's a more meaningful thing. It is what it is if you're not trying to be committed. But the thing is, like I said, that's what's so damn crazy with this couple is that, you know, everything about him is for her, and everything about her is for him. She's cool with dealing with the fact that he might have a problem, you know, coming out of his grief, even though he says it's been years and he's ready to move forward. But why keep saying it? What's behind that? Why keep saying it and then freak yourself out? The minute that he says something that's all exposing of his heart for her, even though the actions are there and the love is there and the commitment is there, you know, by action, you know, once he says it out loud and pours his heart into it, he freaks out and he disappears, or he goes, you know, not disappear, but he stays away and they talk in text and stuff like that, but it's like it's about her. So what's the problem with putting it together? That's my thing. Even if you guys don't marry for a year or two, you know, why not be able to claim it? And I'm really asking that question. I'm not doing my usual Katie cut it out type thing. It's like I'm really trying to figure out what's in the mind of these people that do that. So if you're a guy and you're thinking more, your feeling as a man is that it might be the loss.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and if it could be anything, and then the only other thing that I think it could be is that he could be playing a game. You know, you said that he used to be a bad boy, but like, hey, I don't know. It's kind of weird to me, especially with you saying that he's always bringing up the issue of marriage. So, like I said, if he's maybe he's having some type of issues that maybe he needs some help with.
Could be. I mean, I'm thinking that. I'm thinking something's got to be up. And then part of the
and you said he's a spiritual person, but, you know, there's a lot of spiritual people that have a lot of issues that they're trying to deal with. And then some of them, they try and deal with it alone, but you can't do that. That's not the right thing to do. You know, because you have some spiritual people try and go at it on their own, and that's not a good thing.
Right. It isn't. It's also not a good thing to keep on using the spiritual thing as a resume item rather than
right.
it being something that you live by, and that's the thing. You know, is that something that people do? Are they using the spirituality thing to make themselves look like really good people so that you'll trust them? And at first, that's what it seemed to look like. But
mm-hmm.
like I said, I don't know. It's like usually I'm really good at reading people, and
right. This
one here is a mystery to me.
Yeah.
It's a mystery. And a lot of times, there's a lot of people out there that do stupidly confusing things just because the idea of being a mystery is enticing as well. Like nobody can get a read on me, you know? But
right. Some
things you can't pretend. If it is what
right.
it is. If you are, that's the only thing
on
you got to take it.
But you know, when you don't have a good feeling about something, it's usually not the right thing.
That's just my opinion.
You don't even have a bad feeling about it.
No. I'm saying looking at them is not like that's my problem with them. My problem is that I'm just really thoroughly damn confused. You know, because
yeah.
it's like I don't know. I'm confused as hell. Like, what? Why would you say this? Why would you say this that nobody asked you to say? I get it. If that's your intention, if that's what your preference is, that's your long-term goal, then let that be it. But if you're not ready to make that happen now, it's unfair to yourself and to that person and to bring it up and make it an option on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way that you're going about it when you freak yourself out, and by the way, I have this little rule. If you're going to ask me to come out of my safety net, like, she's been hurt, too. And
okay.
she stayed away. So if she's trying her best not to deal with people, and she's just determined on being single, and you're asking her to trust you and believe in you.
Excuse me.
You know, and then you go get scared on your own. You don't have the right to do that. That's my opinion. You don't have the right to ask somebody to come out of their safety net to trust you, and they're willing to take on and go through whatever you're scared with you. But then you decide that you're a man, so you have to walk off and handle your business on your own, and that means that she's now supposed to understand how to deal with being hurt or feeling a certain way because you have to deal with things on your own. That's not the way it's supposed to be if you're involved with a partner now.
Yeah, but well, I don't know. I have a hard time doing that myself, and I think it's just a guy thing.
I don't know. I don't know if that's a guy thing. It's a new spin on ego for me. Let me bring in another panelist. One second. Welcome to the show, Corey. You're on the air.
Good evening, KD and the panel.
Hey,
Al Tariq,
where the hell you been?
Al Tariq, all right.
All right, Deacon. That's something else, and that always keep reoccurring what you're talking about tonight as far as a person being where they could be committed or if it's fear. But I think it's kind of like, in a way, it's like it could be both. You know, it could be either one. A lot of times, that's a big topic because, like how you say about it being dealing with a man and a woman, and if you just look at it from the perspective of fear, a lot of fears that we have as a people, you know, to come together, you know, so it starts from us as individuals coming into a relationship. So if you have problems with commitment, and I think a lot of it actually stems because it's really easier said than done nowadays, but I think a lot of it stems from when you have had certain issues that was tough for you coming up as a child. A lot of times we don't let go of certain issues we have. We fear giving up certain issues that we had in order to be able to connect because we've probably been hurt, you know, heavily in our past.
Right.
You know, so it gets it's like a hard thing. Not to say that it's necessarily an excuse, but that is what a lot of people will use. You know, they'll hold on to certain things because they feel that that's some type of safety net for themselves, you know, let alone asking somebody else to step out. And they both may have those issues, so that makes it double hard. You know,
but if one person that's been hurt, Al Tariq, took a chance on this person and believed in this person and said, you know, it's about time that I start to try to let go of my own pain and trust this person because he's not that person that hurt me or she's not that person that hurt me. And this is going on the fact that this person said, I'm with you. You know, through thick and thin. I know what you've been through, and I'm not going to put you through that. And I'm not, like I said, usually that's the type of crap that, you know, a guy trying to get into a girl's pants says, or the other way around. But the thing is, like I said, I know these two, and that's not what I'm getting. But I'm getting that some real funky crap is going on where, you know, he's saying stuff because that's what he means and that's what he feels, but he's not ready. And if this was her, I'd say the same thing, you know, that they're not ready. And if that's the case, should she move on? And if it should happen, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. And should she start to grieve the loss now and, you know, get herself together? That way, if it is meant to be, she'll be more ready and a little less accepting of certain things. And with him, will that be a big enough shock for him to say, you know, I almost lost the best thing in my life and because of this crap, so let me get my act together? You know what I mean? Like, should she hang on if she knows that the love is real but it seems like a game?
Mm-hmm. I understand exactly what you're saying. And based on just what you were saying, if you're ready for something, you're just ready. Point blank. When time comes and you're ready, then you're going to commit to that which you're ready to commit to. when it comes down to it, you know, you're going to go ahead and do what you need to do. Just like any other type of thing that you can relate to in life that you were truly ready to do, you may not have even did it for a while, but when a certain time came, as long as you had some type of wisdom, and that's not real common, then you will go ahead and make the adjustments that you need to make to be with what you want to be with or who you want to be with in this situation that you're speaking of on tonight's show. You're going to do what you have to do. You know, and I mean, it's a lot of guys. I had watched something yesterday, and it was crazy because I watched it once in a while. It was a reality show, and it had Ghostface on there, you know, from Wu-Tang. And he was having commitment issues because of hurts that he had in the past, but he's steadily dealing out a lot of hurt to the females. He got two women that they didn't even know about each other until they came on to that little therapy show or whatever they have for, like, celebrities. So, you know, and he's like a time bomb, as the woman said to him, with these women. Uh-huh. He said, he understand a man. He said, a man, till he want to get with, you know, who he want, he said, he see things a little different than a woman. You know, he said, and I know not every man is like that. He said, but, he said, a lot of them are. He said, I feel the majority are. You know, and you know, he kept it real because a lot of men do roll like that. You know, I've seen it. Everyone that I've ever hung with was never like me. I was the type where I wanted to be a person to be in a long, committed relationship. I guess because of my mother, because of how my dad was, because he always was trying to do things on the side. So I looked at him, you know, like, no, I can't be that way. I want to be like my mom. I want to be like the one who trying to have family and stuff like that. You know, so
before you finish,
my mother's side is because he had commitment issues. They was married, but he still had commitment issues. You know,
I
this
to
is
just tell you something.
Going on a lot. You know,
I wanted to tell you something before you finish. As hard as it seems, as hard as it appears, as common as everybody else will tell you that what your dad did, you know, or the people that you've seen or you hang around do it, don't change. Because as much as I spoke about in previous segments, that all the garbage is always on front page, there are real good women out there that are looking for a guy like you, as well as there are a lot of good guys out there that's looking for a good woman. Don't change, because, you know, it's never the stuff that comes quick, easy, and by the dozen that's the good stuff. Never. It never is. You know, I don't know how spiritual or religious you are, but even in the Bible it says, like, you know, the road to heaven is unpaved, and you're going to see maybe one or two travelers every so often, whereas the road to hell is broadly paved and a lot of people there. You know, nothing, and I'm paraphrasing all you spiritual listeners, nothing that you can get so easy, nothing that you will get overnight, nothing that comes and drops in your lap and comes and you can, if one goes bad, you could get another one right away. That never works. It never works. And it never lasts, I should say. It works for a while, but it never lasts. So don't change. And your mom taught you well. And usually the men that are grown with the mothers that they respect and love and gave them, you know, such a good foundation are usually the best husbands. They usually are. And they're the ones that do have good relationships because they can see it. Getting back to this, let me ask you a question about this couple that's on the table tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think, first of all, let me ask you this. If he's not ready, why does he keep saying it? And I'm asking this, you guys think that I'm being my usual, cutting edge self, and I'm not. I'm really asking because this couple is actually very, very important to me. And it's like I believe that if he gets his stupidness together, they would be one of those unbreakable couples. And I'm watching her, you know, she's usually the one that's like, I can handle, you know, 3-6 and a knife, and I'm still show up at a corporate board meeting with a white spit-shine smile and a briefcase. You know, she's one of those people that can get down and dirty, handle it, and keep it moving, and still take on her man and her kids and, you know, the whole nine. My whole thing is, if he's not ready, why keep saying it? Why would he do that? Is that the part where he doesn't want to leave, you know, he wants to have his cake and eat it too type thing, or do you just believe that he doesn't know how to handle losing her to get himself together?
Yeah, I believe that it's a little of both. It can be a little of both, because if you got somebody good, really, if you got any type of sanity to yourself, you don't want to let a good person go. You know, it's bad for people that's out here and they know they got somebody good and they don't want to let them go. You know, because they like, I got you, so why should I let you go? You know, and that's part of the cake and eat it too, because you like, you know, that's like a diamond in the rough right there. You don't want to just let something like that go, even though you know you may not deserve that person where you at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you at with your whole life and where you at with trying, and you know they want you, so you would try to use different things to keep that person.
Right.
You know, because nobody just wants to give up something good. You know, that'll be like, you know, that's crazy. They be like, uh-uh. You know, even if you know that they're wrong, they are not going to give, because they'd be like, well, if I just give you up, it's not this promise that I'm going to get somebody. But the thing that's key is, you know, there's some insanity there, because they're not thinking, why don't you just go ahead and connect with the one who's making you happy like that? But I don't believe that it's just that it's the other person. I believe it's problems that you have with yourself.
Right.
Because if
I believe that.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. That's why I think too. I think it's something really going on with him that he needs to really address for himself, because that's the only way he's gonna get through that. I can understand you losing someone. You know, and like I said, if he's talked to somebody professionally and he's still trying to deal with it. You know, so he's got to, there's some things he needs to take care of himself first before he can, you know, take it any further.
I have two more panelists on that's waiting in. Just give me a minute, gentlemen.
Okay.
Welcome to the show. Call, you on the air? Hello? Okay. Well,
hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I was on.
One second. May I ask who am I speaking with?
Yeah, this is Sunny Gibson.
Hi, Sunny. All right, Sunny, so hang on, because the other panelist before you was on. So hang on a second. All right, you know what, Taylor?
Okay.
Let me give the new panelist a shot, and I'll come back to you. Okay.
Okay. Great.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Sunny, and welcome.
Huh? Okay.
I say, go ahead, Sunny, and welcome. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I was listening, and one of the guys mentioned something about the gentleman having multiple women who didn't even know about each other, and he said it as almost as it was the norm, that is very common among men. And but my problem with that is that I had a hard time basing that on commitment issues. You know, the way I see it is that some men are very selfish in that, you know, they want what they want, and they don't want to give up anything. You know, the common scenario of wanting to have their cake and eat it too. So I don't see it as a commitment issue. I see it more that they don't want to have to be put in a position to choose, because, you know, this one particular woman may be fulfilling this need and this other woman is fulfilling that need, and they want it all. They don't want to give up anything. They're not thinking about what the woman needs. They're thinking about what they want. And, you know, that's how I see it.
Well, what's your take on what we're speaking about tonight? What would you think that this gentleman's problem would be with the couple, with the relationship he's in?
Yes, I just don't see it I don't see them having a commitment issue. I don't think they have a fear of commitment as much as they just don't want to, how do you say, it's almost like kids in a candy shop. You know, they see all this candy and they want it all. They don't want to have to, you know, forego this piece of candy to have that piece of candy. They want to have all of the candy. They don't want to be put in a position where they can't, you know, savor all the flavors that they're interested in, you know, trying out. And in this day and age, I mean, realistically, they don't have to. And that is the sad part, is that men don't have to make a commitment unless they want to, because there's too many women that are going to allow them to, you know, sample as many flavors as you want to. And again, the guy said, a lot of these women don't even know that they're in a three-way.
I'm kind of confused, though.
Now, may I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Steven, you
got to
speak up a little bit.
Can you hear me now? Is this better at all?
Yes, Dad.
Yeah. So I think with regards to the topic tonight, you know, I think that, you know, people are neglecting, I think, to acknowledge the fact that we all know we all have things to confront within ourselves. And I'm glad that somebody brought that up earlier. And when the brother said something about the multiple women as well, I think he was talking about Ghostface Killah on a reality TV show. And this is where I'm getting at, where this is some stereotypical mess that also I'm hearing, that everyone is not looking for these types of personal and selfish gratifications, but some of us are. And not only is it, it's not even a clear-cut line, all of us go through points in time where we have situations and also things we can't let go and coping mechanisms to do so, and they fall into realms of our romantic lives and things like that. That's why for marriage, we must confront our own concepts of love and family. That's what marriage counseling is for. When you decide to get married in reality, now, then you decide to get married, you also take time out to actually divulge into each person's, you might even need to bring in, not even just might, I'm starting to think it might be necessary to bring in third party, maybe a professional, and have marriage counseling, or have somebody, maybe if you're a religious person, a priest, whatever, and go through a proposal. You know, you have a proposal, then you have maybe a year or so, I guess, of where you really get to know yourself for the other person with that intent in itself. No selfish intent at that point. However, before that, yeah, a lot of times I think it's a lot of us that are out here with selfish intents with our romantic relationships. But we can't mix the two together, and I think that's what Katie was trying not to do, all right? I don't think we're talking about
I'm going to call it a case study topic, okay? So, like, this particular couple that I'm telling you about, this, like I said, why bring up marriage? If you know that you've been through hell, okay, you've been down the wild college days or whatever the case is, you know, and that's what I put on all the running through the women and running through the men. That's the way I brought in it. But you've been through that. You've been through running through women. That wasn't gratifying enough, because in the end, there's still that emotional satisfaction that needs to be fulfilled. Now, you have this person, like I said, that been through that, then actually got married, lost, you know, his mate, okay, did something violent, as a matter of fact, and then, you know, went through the years grieving, and then after that dated again or whatever, but didn't find any satisfaction in anybody that he dated. Found her, okay, after asking her to come out of her shell, found her. All right? And what happens is now, he's the one, like I said, that brought up, I'm looking for a wife, I want to be married, I want to do this, and says it repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But every time that he says it, it's like he freaks himself out.
Mm.
So why do you think you're not ready? Why
stay?
So do you guys think that that is something that is about an emotional issue, or is it, again, is he trying to keep her from moving on and from losing her in his life? Or do you think that he really does love her, but he just wants, he doesn't know how to deal with whatever it is? And like I did mention, I don't have any awareness of him dealing with a third-party professional about his grief.
Well, like I said before, I think it's, he's dealing with some issues that he has to get cleared up first, you know, because with him constantly bringing up the marriage issue, like I said, he's probably still dealing with the loss that he had to deal with, and he hasn't gotten through it yet.
Well, any
you know, there's some things that I believe that he may want that. He may want that, but he has to get these issues that he's dealing with cleared up first.
Okay.
And I believe that he even really seriously may love this other woman, you know, and just in a fear of losing her in another situation like that. So I don't know. It's real touchy right there.
Funny you said that, Deacon, because that was what my main belief was. That as much as he may want it, and as much as he's going around doing all these stupid things, that the bottom line is that, you know, guys can't say I'm scared of anything. Okay?
Right.
I knew a father who had a child that had her tonsils removed, and the bleeding that came from it after, the very fear that the doctor had, that when they told you, you know, post-surgically, be careful if you see this, immediately bring them back. That little girl started to actually throw up fresh blood after it happened because some dummy in the hospital gave a child that just had their tonsils removed peanut butter. Okay? Now, I don't know if you have to be a medical degree person to know that peanut butter is a sticky, thick food, and you don't give that to a child that just had, you know, her tonsils removed, because it's like a scab. If you scrape it, it'll come off and it'll open up the wound.
Right.
So
this
man, scared as he was, got like, you know, sort of bought things in an angry manner, or tried to convince himself that it wasn't as bad as the mom was saying it was. That she, whatever that is, could you guys please bring it down?
What is that?
I have no clue. So whatever it is, you know, what I was saying was that, you know, he tried to blame the mom for being too overprotective, rather than see that this girl was not throwing up. This girl was throwing up pools of fresh blood. So of course the mom and they had to be the out. But that's how bad this society's, you know, teaching a guy about his ego goes. I mean, we spoke about many things. We spoke about in previous segments how there are male rape victims who are not supposed to call it rape. You know, there are molestation victims that are not supposed to call it molestation because a guy's supposed to enjoy sex. It's a sex thing. You understand? So this man is afraid of losing someone he loves again. And instead of saying that, he'd go off and make her think that, you know, it was a wham-bam thing, or he's saying this and he doesn't mean it. And frankly, I don't see that he doesn't mean it. That's the whole point. But how far does the ego go that you'll lose something great over something stupid? The fear is not stupid, but not trying to get help for it is.
Yes,
trying to do this on your own is. If you are in a partnership, you are supposed to go through something with a partner.
Then that's the partner. You can't go through it by yourself if you're talking to me.
Right, right, sure.
That's what it is. That's what it is, and that's what it is.
How about if it's like this, like, because I know the brother had just said that, you know, that's like a stereotype, but, I've grown up around people all my life, and I'm telling you, it's real. If you was in the neighborhood and you was hanging around your friends, and this is what I'm getting to, if you were taught, because a lot of people who I know some brothers who had lots of women. I know some now. They keep a herd of women.
And if you came up that way from basically your teenage years, early teenage years, on up until your adult years, and you've been having your cake and eating it too on that level, you're going to be having some fears because it's not what you're used to trying to commit to one person.
Yeah, that's where you, you got to confront
those. Absolutely, and nobody is debating. Nobody's debating that that's not real. As a matter of fact, all you see is that. Or everything that you see is that. You see Facebook posts of women talking about that dumb MF, that he did this, oh, this guy did this. That's what it's about. But guess what? On the other hand, there are other people out there, smaller handful as they may be, that are not that, no matter what they came from. And because it's the thing for a guy to do, to have a bunch of women in order to prove his manhood, which this, that bull crap has to stop.
That's right.
I'll say it to the day I die. It has to stop. We are not in the mode of, you know, we speak about where our ancestors come from. We speak about the trauma and the effects of that. But I said before, and I'll say it again, some things is not about what the white man did. Some things is about you. If I could sit there and say that our slave ancestors had more loyal marriages in the face of getting shot up just because they were black, and they still continue to respect their queens and kings. Okay? The way I see it is there are some things that are on you. Now, with regards to being fear of loss, listen, I lost a son, and it took me a very long time for my subsequent children not to just let them go play and not freak out every time they fell off a bike. And it does have an effect. There are certain things that you cannot control, and you do need help conditioning yourself to realize that some things happen, and it's not your fault, or it's not, you know, it's not going to definitely be a repeat. It took me years for me to realize that when my child falls off a bike, they'll get up and they'll do it again. It's part of life. As many bumps and scrapes as I've had growing up, when my son passed away, it was very hard for me to watch their brothers and sisters just get off a bike or anything that was dangerous. And I think for the most part, because of that, I took a lot of their adventure seeking away because I was too afraid of everything happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting molested as a child, everybody that looked at them too long, too hard was another thing. So, yeah, those things are real, and it's not about gaming or whatever. But on the other hand, some people went through all of that and still are dogs and still are jerks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I brought this particular case up. Do you think this man is dealing with the grief, or is he using his grief to get what he can get and keep it moving? That's the question that I'm thinking based on what I'm telling you, the information about this couple. Now, I'm going to ask you guys to think about it again because there's a new panelist coming in. So hang on just a second.
Whatever.
Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Who am I speaking with? Hi, you there, VC. I was wondering when you're going to come in.
I am good tonight. How are you and the panel?
Well, what's your take tonight, VC?
Well, I read the story. I read the question while I was waiting to be brought in. And for me, it all comes down to people learning to just be honest about who they are and what they are. You know, folks find themselves in relationship and they want to be in relationship so bad that they pretend to be this or that, or they hide parts of their lives or what they really are on the inside. So when someone's facing something as life-changing as making a commitment, and especially if that person, you know, believes in God, you know, marriage vows before God, the whole nine yards, yeah, they're going to freak out because they've been, you know, faking the funk all along, and now it comes to this. I have to be open and truthful. What if my mate leaves me? What if my mate doesn't want to be with me anymore, you know? And all that can be avoided by just being honest about who you are and what you are from the very beginning. That's my opinion.
That's true. And, you know, another one of the things that had come through my mind, you know, as I was watching this couple unfold was I started wondering if every time he said it, yet he meant it, He didn't, it wasn't like he didn't mean it, but I think that maybe he thought twice and said, you know, I think I just took my foot in my mouth. Now I have to figure out a way to live up to it. I think, I believe that he wants so badly to make that move, okay, and he's got it, but now he's got to think about now, for me to act on this, there are things involved. Now, she does have two children from a previous marriage, and, you know, the thing is, there's children involved that don't belong to him. Now, there's other things. What if the father's a problem? What if this? But if you didn't think about all that when you brought up the marriage situation and you got away, they kind of had like a... I'm not going to say, it wasn't like an official separation, just so happened that for a little while they just cooled off, you know, like by whatever circumstances took place. The question is, why repeat it again if you started up and it was okay? Why do you open up yourself to volunteering that type of connection if you're not ready? Why not talk about that part? Why not say, I really want this, but I'm having a very hard time with dealing with how to get there? And give your partner the chance to say, you know what, if I understand you now, but let me explain this. I'm with you with this. Whatever it is, you want to talk to somebody, talk to me. If you can't talk to me, let's pray together. Let's do something if both of you are inclined as such. Then let that person have a full-fledged, how can I say this? It's like I always say, have all the tools on the table so you can choose how to build the bridge. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. Why not put all the factors on the table and let that person choose with a sound decision? Why would you sit there and introduce make something an option that really isn't?
Right. Exactly. And I would agree with you, Teddy, most definitely. And I think I would suggest to the parties, I would say, man, open up the line of communication, because I would, in the same way that, you know, this man's grief is being used, I would put it in the same facet as I would put anything else, you know, as a mode of causation. Like if the person is using their own grief as an excuse for self, you know, openly or verbally, or if they're saying to you that they are, their grief is the reason that they are holding back, I feel like there's something dishonest or false about that. I feel like when you use something, it might be, and though we know these are factors included, and if we are, you know, to move forward in a serious relationship, in a marriage, those are just things, yeah, you confront individually, you know, during that counsel time. However, but if you are just using it as an excuse and just rapping here and there and this and that, then I would say there's something false and dishonest about that. But if the person isn't using it as an excuse, and the woman herself is perceiving that, if she's perceiving that and saying, oh, I perceive this, and I see that you have some issues, and maybe even bringing it to him, he don't see it maybe, okay?
Now, see,
but if he's saying
what
he
I'm
sees
seeing
it
with her,
he doesn't want to confront it. Hello?
Yeah. What I'm seeing with her is not that she's doubting the validity of his feelings, but I do see her getting to the point now where she's debating on whether or not, no matter what he's going through, does she need to leave it alone and see where he let him deal with it. And at the same time, she's conflicted because she loves him and she doesn't want to leave him in a position where if there's something she could say or help him through or get him to. But, she's starting to feel like it's like, you know, what is that my responsibility? We're not married. You know, he's saying
not
to get different says it. Now, I have to go to break, but I want to pose a question to the panel. And when I come back, I'm going to go down the line and ask each of you what you think. I'm going to give a little bit of a personal experience or a personal knowledge of something. And then I want to ask you, do you believe in this case that this is what the deal is? Sometimes people actually are afraid to succeed. And they also, if they've been abused or if they've been hurt, the grief of that hurt sort of is your way to get through the day, if you know what I mean. It may not be something you want to go through, but it's something that you've been used to going through. And giving up that grief, okay, it sometimes makes you feel naked. And I want to ask you, do you feel that's the case with this man? Do you feel that he's been used to grieving for so long and he's been used to when things go wrong, that's his safety net, to say, well, you know what, nobody's going to be like her, or nobody's going to be that. If you think that that's what it is, when I get back, I want to hear from you. Sonny, you did ask for this song. I'll replay it for you on the way to break, and I'll be back in 4 minutes.
All right.
The On the Edge Show with KD Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. KD and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help run their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are talking on the subject, I love you, but I need more time. Is this a game or fee of commitment? That is the question on the table. Now, we are speaking about a specific couple that's in my life, and I've been authorized to use it as a topic icon. So what I have been getting from my panel and my pre-broadcast discussion has been very intriguing and very interesting. And one of the things that I expected to happen was that men were going to jump in. Nope, he's a dog. Get rid of it. Nope, it's the women. No, I didn't get any of that. And today we're really trying to get to the bottom of what it is that could be the reason why somebody would mention wanting to be married but then back off as they do. Now, loss in this case is involved. Loss of someone that was loved very much by the person who was saying it, which is the male in this respect. And that is a really good reason that, you know, we could explain why this would happen. But on the other hand, sometimes people are just gaming and they're using whatever it is as a sympathy ploy to get in, as a way to keep whoever they're gaming understanding and by their side. So I'm going to bring our panel back in because the question that was just posed was whether or not this person is trying to hold on to their grief as an excuse not to move forward. Deacon, are you back?
Yes, I am.
Al-Tariq?
Yes, I'm back.
Salo?
Yes, I'm here.
And DC, are you back?
I am.
All right, thank you. DC, you're new on the newest edition tonight, so I'm going to ask you first. Do you think that this person could be using their grief to keep on to what he has and waste, you know, waste time, if you want to call it that, in getting to the big do, or is it just that he really has a hard time moving forward?
Well, in my opinion, people, men and women, use whatever they feel they can use to get that upper hand. So is it possible that he's using his grief as a way to keep her at bay? He knows that she's invested in him and in the relationship. He knows that she doesn't want to walk away, so let's give her a reason to stay. Let's tell her, I just need more time, I just need more time. That's deception, as far as I'm concerned, because if we've been together for any amount of time and we're supposed to be in a trusting relationship, I don't understand, you know. To go one step further, I don't understand how people are sharing their bodies, are sleeping in the presence of other people who they can't trust completely, meaning there are no agendas, hidden issues, hidden things that we can't talk about. So that's my opinion.
But funny, before I go to the next panel, it's funny that you should mention that because one of the pre-broadcast replies that I got today was just that. You know, that it could be saying what the person wants to hear so that they can take their time and get into whatever and feeling that they can look around. And at one point, I felt that way too. I felt that maybe, you know, he was sort of keeping, you know, you ever go to the supermarket and you pick up something and you keep it in there, you want it, but you don't really want it. But at the same token, you don't want to give it up in case you don't find something else that's
right.
You know, gets through it.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I was thinking it that way, I said, I got to make that analogy, that's not a good thing. But like I said, she actually authorized me to use their story on the air tonight. And I'm hoping she's not going to use what you people say to make a decision, but hopefully she'll be able to, you know, at least think more or hear what other people think, people who've been in it, people who know how certain things go. But I know, being as a person that's been abused, as much as you hate the pain of it, if that's all you know, that's what you do through the day. It's like your routine. You get up, you don't know any other way. So when you finally get tired of it, okay, that first move is critical.
Mm.
That first move is critical. When you've got to realize that as bad as he was or she was, that's all I had, and now I've got to do this on my own, and I've got to figure out how to do it, especially if you've been one of those people that was in the house all the time and he or she ran everything. You know, now you got to figure out how to pay your own bill, pay your own taxes, you know, figure out how to make ends meet or connect with people or to communicate with people about things you like and don't like. That's
and that's what an abusive person does. They create a dependency also.
Yeah.
You know, abusive person wants to create a dependency.
Abuse does. Even the ones that don't involve physical violence is abuse. And it's like that's an issue as well. And sometimes people can love you to death.
Yeah.
And it doesn't necessarily mean a physical death. It could mean the death of your essence, of your being, you know. And sometimes that's a worse death because you're walking around alive. But she's at the point now where she's trying to decide whether she should just let it be, and if it should work out, it works out. But then that's going to bring the problem of this. If you're breaking up to say, I'm going to give you more time to do whatever it is you want to do, and that person is not taking that time to focus on their relationship, then is she taking more time out away from what she could be able to do moving on herself?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God is never going to bring the right person to you as long as you are tethered to the wrong person. That just doesn't happen. You have to clear the and be by yourself. And being by yourself between relationships is very good because it gives, first of all, your mind an opportunity to clear itself and to focus on who you are and what you want. It gives your body an opportunity to clear the deck and clear itself. You know?
Which is usually why men never get to where they need to be, because men don't know how to just be alone. They need bedmates all the time. Not all of you, so you guys on the panel, if that's not you, and to the listeners out there, if you're brand new, if the shoes don't fit, don't walk in them. But usually men don't ever break up with the love of their life and not immediately go to find some sexual gratification. It really works out like that. Okay?
And the cycle. And it's a never-ending cycle unless we break it, because we have to also remember, you know, a lot of us, men and women, and you know, if we want to dance with the stereotype, even a lot of women, black women, have been getting catcalled since 14 and 15 and have had boyfriends older than them since their age and have not had true breathing breaks in between these relationships and have created patterns and things like that. And men have done the same. But listening, you know, it's like, you know, just to expand on what we were saying earlier, it's just like how some of these so-called black folks or so-called black folk, black advocates, you know, do they actually put something practical on the table, or do they just use it as an excuse for themselves? Which one are they doing? That's how we judge them. That's the rubric by which we judge them. So we can judge everybody the same way. Are you using it as a rubric? And like you said, Katie, moving forward, are you using it as an excuse to not move forward? If so, you know, we see what we are dealing with, you know. And if you're using these to keep you, and like the other lady said also, DC, I'm sorry, said, using grief to keep you around, using propositions of marriage to keep you around, that's also indicative of signs that, yeah, he don't want to lose the great thing that he got, necessarily.
Right.
But,
that was my point.
But that's what I'm hearing from the male part. I'm like, oh, you just don't want to lose what you got, necessarily. Or
right, and that's what I'm saying. You can't keep her around because you want, you know, to find yourself and, you know, shop around while you're at it. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, is that a secret thing that he's up to as well? You know, either way, what do you guys believe? Well, you know what? I asked DC the question that I wanted to break with. Salo, you just gave me your insight on it. Deacon, what do you think? You think maybe he's using the grief to keep her around and but keep her at a safe distance?
Yeah, that's a great possibility. That's the way it sounds to me because evidently he hasn't really dealt with the issues from the loss of the first love. You know, you said he lost someone to a violent death. That's something really, really powerful to have to deal with. But if he is using that as an excuse to just to string her along, that's not right. And it's not fair to her.
Yeah, and I won't go to you,
Altarik.
What do you think?
I was laughing earlier because of that song you played. And if it's because of grief, I understand them, but you grieve for a while and then that's it. You don't just stay in grief. But you need to give up that control, them control issues you got.
I picked the song for the topic because everything that he said is true. He said he'd been through it, chick after chick. As soon as they said commit, he let him go. And he said that he didn't realize what he was missing. I will say one thing in all fairness. Grief is a very debilitating thing. And if you don't have proper distractions, if you don't have proper guidance or counseling in your life, it can hold you forever. Mm-hmm. I know a man that lost a baby to SIDS like I did, and he has not gotten over it yet, and he's almost 70.
Wow.
Okay, so just to let you know, it's a hard thing, and especially if it's the loss of a child or a loved one. You know, as much as a lot of people say, my brother was my best friend, my sister was my best friend, my mama, everything, let me explain this to you. Losing a loved one, and especially losing a child, okay, it can hold you. And if you don't know how to get out of it, if you don't understand that it's stopping you, if you don't want to admit that it's stopping you, you'll be stuck in that web for life. And it's a web that you're creating because you won't let it go. Understand that whatever it was that was going to hurt your loved one or whatever it is, that person can't suffer anymore. I think the only thing that got me out of, there were two things, because I believe that my God is awesome. And there's two things that I believe I could tell you right now that helped me move along was A, it wasn't my firstborn that was taken. So God took my firstborn son, but he was my second child, which means I had a baby above him that I had to focus and be strong for. So that sort of helped me, you know, not get indulged in the pain. But the other thing was, that my spiritual belief was that, you know, my son was an angel. And so I sort of looked at it like I'm the mother of an angel, you know, and he can't get hurt. He didn't grow up to be a drug addict or, you know, nobody could hurt him or turn him the wrong way. There was one less child he had to worry about a drive-by to, you know, things to that effect. So I started to see all of the good things about it, especially having watched his siblings grow up and deal with stuff they shouldn't have had to. I felt like God spared one from all that. Oh, so that sort of helped me through it. As far as the abuse half of it, where I started to, what you said, DC, was very important. If you don't take time out in between a relationship to take time for yourself, you'll never know who you are. You'll never know what you'll accept. You'll never know what it is that you'll take or not take. Once your heart belongs to someone, you'll never, ever be able to just think for you because it's always going to be that person. You're always going to try to think for both of you. But if both of you are not thinking for both of you, then it's a one-handed situation.
And Katie, it's just the situation that I found myself in after 18 years of marriage. And you know, I was given that same, line. Hey, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with that. He even came down to right about year number 14 telling me, I don't know how to love. This is the only way that I was brought up to love. And I waited, because I made the commitment not just right. to him, but to God. You know, and then my prayers to God start turning, look, Father, you know, I need your guidance with this thing because everything in your word concerning marriage and commitment, I'm fighting against all that. And I got word back from God, I believe, that allowed me to make the decision to save myself. I mean, I gave up 2 decades of my life trying to work for a marriage with a manipulator, with someone who just wasn't capable of giving the same 100% that I was giving. And at some given point in time, like you said, you have to think for yourself. And then for the last 6 years, I've taken time to be alone so I can learn who I am. After being with somebody for 20 years, learn who I am and learn what I like and learn to make better choices in mates, you know. So it's hard. It's really hard. I was terrified coming, you know, walking out of that marriage, terrified of being alone, my own identity, the whole nine yards. But guess what? I'm so much better now. So
because you weren't evenly yoked with the person spiritually. And that's so one of the things that I do understand, and I hear so many, the things that I hear coming out of some of these leaders' mouths and some of these people's mouths. If you guys don't know how to interpret this scripture, please stop quoting it. Okay, when Jesus said, you know, if your right hand offends thee, cut it off. I'm sure he didn't mean go get a samurai sword and cut it off.
Yeah.
What he meant was if anything that's involved in your life is not going to allow you to progress spiritually and properly, or anything that's causing you not to serve him right, then leave it alone.
Right.
God did not design you to be your brother's keeper. But you do, you know, if you've done everything you can, then you do take it to God, because I definitely had to ask God. I said, look, I'm pretty stupid, because you could be showing me it's a hammer and I look like a nail and I'm still not putting together, but if this thing hits me, it's going to hurt. So now I need you to step in for me. And you know what? If you got sense and you got the sixth sense and you got the instincts, you better get the hell to moving, because once God gets in your life and cleans it up for you, he's cleaning up everything. And it's going to hurt a lot more on the way out till you get to the good side. And you know what, DC, I've been there, done that. I know exactly what you mean. I took 2 decades of my young life being a mother and a wife and a living wife, and never been me. And when I got out of it, not only did I learn what I already knew was that I had talents, I had a business goal, that I could do anything and everything that I could put my mind to, with prayer, of course. And on top of all of that, I learned what I'm not going to accept, and I learned what I'm worth. So while I'm sitting up there going, no, no, thank you, I'm not interested. And not only that, I guess I've been there, done that. God's given me the insight to every line that could ever be played on me, even the original one.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay? So when I see it coming, I had a guy ask me once, what's your number? I said, which one would you like? I have 10 kids, 6 of which I'm raising. I'm broke, and my phone number is 555 go to hell.
What's your number? What's your number?
Yeah, which number would you like? I mean, I don't know what to tell you. And I think after the first one you heard, which was the 10 raising 6, you can go now. You know, stop playing games. And I love the ones that try to sit around and leave with dignity. That they try to have a little more, you know, a little more exit talk so it doesn't look so bad. Just go. Because the person that's going to stand there, none of that is going to scare him off, and none of that is going to make it seem like, oh, God, I've got too much to do. What am I going to get given up? And I had to tell one that I dated very briefly, listen, don't start putting your claim tags on your bachelor's chair yet, because no one's talking that.
And Kate, last 6 years, you know, one stands out above all else. You know, nice brother. Didn't have his stuff together, but That's okay, because it's a hard, everybody's having a hard time right now. But this particular brother was just pressing so hard that I said, okay, I'm going to just put it out there. So I said to him, look, we're not getting married within the next 2 years. You're not sharing money with me. You're not moving in with me. You will not drive my car. You know, none of that's happening. So how do you want? And he disappeared. He disappeared.
There you go. So that's the question. That's what I'm posing with this couple. I mean, listen, it sounds good. It's a beautiful thing to say. You could say I'm not having sex, I'm making love. You could say all this stuff. But if you are not ready to come to the table with what your mouth is putting out there, my father's mom used to tell me all the time, don't write a check. Your mouth will write a check that your ass can't cash.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to put it out there, you better have some banking to back it up. And
I don't have the privilege of making a misstep. I got real bills, okay? A serious mortgage. I got stuff going on, meaning if I trip and fall, I'm going to be living under a bridge, all right? So I'm not playing. All that love, and yeah, it's possible, but it's not possible in 15 minutes. You know, you have time.
You need
up front, just like I'm planning on showing you up front that first you can be my friend, okay, in the truest sense of the word, not the Facebook sense of the word, but in the truest sense of the word, that you have my back, you can be my friend, and then if we can make it beyond that, then we can go to intimacy, then we can start looking at what part of our lives we can merge together. But, oh, no. I'm on my own until further notice. You know, all that quick, fast, and hurry, and the music in the background, and a couple of sips of wine, and the next thing I know, you're talking about which side of the closet. Oh, no. No.
Nothing. Nope.
No.
And two sips of wine can't be your indicators, so I don't know what to tell you. But I will say that, you know, if this woman is at the point of, you know, as much as I love this man and understand she's been through a lot of hell in her life. So my thing was, you don't have the right to ask me to come out from behind my brick fort and then, you know, with stories of you are going through what I went through, with stories of I've been there, done that, then I met somebody, then they died, then this, and this person is feeling everything you're saying. You've been friends, and I will say this, like I said, they started off friends on social media, but they lived like literally three blocks from each other and never knew it. And when they became friends, you know all you need to know, at least as much as it counts, unless this person has schizophrenia. Okay? You know what, and for those of you that don't know what schizophrenia is, a double personality. Okay? But if this person actually, there's only so much you could hide being day-to-day conversationalist for 3 years. Mm. But sharing days where you go over, you've seen how they live, you've seen what they do, you've seen them at their down, you've seen them at their ups. Give me a break. But if you're not ready, don't say it, especially when it wasn't brought to you.
Yeah. What's all that about?
That's the deal.
Life,
what is it? You want to keep saying that like that's a trophy and, you know, like that's some big thing that, yeah, but he wants to get married, though, but she wants to get married. Right. Or like I'm one of the few guys that want to get married. Is that the deal?
Well, you might be the one if you do X, Y, and Z. Either I'm the one or I'm not the one. You know, I don't have to jump through no hoops. I don't have to wait. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to do anything. If I'm the one, all I got to do is just be me.
Especially when this person is not in their 20s or their 30s or even their 40s. Okay? There comes somebody posted something on Facebook, that cracked me up but was true. And it said, at my age, I'm not, I don't have time for games, but loyalty is an issue or something like that. You know, I don't have time to joke around. Yeah, you really don't. You really don't. Like, does everybody know who the Captain Antonio is?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. After 39 years of marriage, where the hell are they going? You are 74 years old. What are you going to do, start over?
Right. I got an example for you, Katie. We all know Terrell Owens, right?
Right.
Okay. Terrell Owens, 2 weeks ago, married I think he was a nurse, all right?
Yes.
Some just every, you know, average, everyday female. How about this female filed for annulment / divorce today, saying that she was deeply in love with Terrell, but the only thing he wanted from her was her credit report so he could buy a house in San Simi, California, a $2 million house. Really? So she, what? I mean, their marriage lasted 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
Oh, Jesus. 2 weeks, $1 million
house,
and they got divorced.
I'm mad, guys.
Way to go,
T.O. I offered T.O. free room and board, but he chose to write. Okay. Anyhow, I'm mad. You know, he's off my list now. He's not even, he couldn't even pick up the telephone and call me. No, I'm sorry. He picked up.
Really,
I'm going to ask you all a really off-topic question for a second. If you post a question on Facebook and you don't believe in it or you don't have it, why do people feel the need to answer that I don't believe in this?
I don't know. They want some attention.
Just so that they could be seen? I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah.
If you ask a question and a person either doesn't know about it, or doesn't believe in it, or it has, then you don't have a purpose for it. No need to reply.
Everybody needs a purpose.
It doesn't apply. It doesn't apply. But
right.
A person asked, opposing marriage that wasn't asked for in a relationship. A person that means it but can't commit to it. Why bring it up?
Well, again, manipulation.
Manipulation.
I'm going to tangle this you know, fruit in front of you and see how high you'll jump to get it. What will you do to get this fruit that I'm never intending on giving you? You know,
right.
But I'll thank you. I'll thank you.
Yeah. Right. And the thing is, I'll put another example to the table, better example. I'm sorry. No, I was saying a better example. You know, this is how these fools are acting these days. When I know my grandmother had a 38-year successful marriage. Why the big difference? You know, and it's more like that. You know, why such a big difference? What's going on? You know what I mean?
Well, CeeLo, I understand. I say, well, I understand why there's such a big difference. Well, back in the day when your grandmother was around, there wasn't MTV, there wasn't BET,
come on,
there wasn't internet. You had minimal choices, so you looked at the people in your community, and you picked out the one who you thought that you aligned up with best. And then you married that person, and you set house rules. These are the rules. I go to work. You take care of the kids. You know, I'm not going to be sitting up in the bar all night. You're not going to be running here and yard with your girlfriend, spending money, you know, et cetera. Those were the rules. And nobody broke the rules. It was all about the family. Today, folks can't pay attention for the fact that they're looking here and there and on Facebook, and is she shaped like Beyonce, and can she, what kind of car does she drive, et cetera, et cetera. The person has nothing to do with it. They could care less about what that person feels in their heart. All they care about is, will she do a table dance for me, or, you know, or will he buy me the latest MK bag, et cetera. That's crazy.
But you know what, DC? That's what I'm thinking. You know, there's a couple of things I was thinking about as well. As a matter of fact, I believe Salo and I, we were kind of discussing the topic a little earlier off the air. Our ancestors, and I said this before, in the face of being shot at, called all sorts of names where it was not so much legal, but it was allowed for, you know, if you were just black to be smacked by a white person and it was all right. And still they valued respect to their mates, to their wives. And matter of fact, it wasn't mate. It was wife and husband. All right? As much as we are still dealing with high-end racism and with all these unarmed shootings and these children getting killed off and everything, we're still dealing with it. But on the other hand, with so-called laws that are in place or supposed to be in place, we do have a lot more, quote-unquote, freedoms than we did before. So maybe is that it? Maybe we're not – how can I word this? Maybe is this generation not – to what's valuable, because we have too many, like you said, open things out there where we don't value what's important anymore, and we're just trying to get whatever it is. But I'm trying to word this in a way that I mean it, because it's like it's in my head and it's not coming out the way my head is feeling it. But there's just marriage was something that was sacred. It meant something. You know, people really did believe in the value of it, the value of the family. And even back then, what our husbands did, when they did say, you take care of the children, you do whatever, it's because they really believed doing it this way meant giving their children the best valuable start there was possible. Yeah. And the village came in later. Nowadays, it's not that. And the thing, you and I, speaking on the experience we went through, it gets to the point where a lot of us don't know how to not be overcome by the bitterness of walking out of that long-term relationship and not putting it on who's to come and who's due to come for us. So that was another thing that took place. Usually our ancestors, if their men did something wrong to them, they just sort of retreated and just lived life out.
Oh, I'll say something about that. How you was just saying about that, and I know how certain things was with our ancestors and stuff like that. Now, I had read some, I listened to something, and it came up out of, I guess it was like the Speech of the Grassroots about Malcolm X, and it was like prophetic what he said, because he was talking about the children as far as females with all these kids out of wedlock. Now, this was said in the 60s, and it's manifesting heavily now. So it couldn't have been that perfect. We had people together more, of course, than the day. But it was not illegitimate children. I don't like calling them that. But it was a lot of kids that was being born that wasn't, you know, coming from marriage.
Absolutely.
And my mother told me, you know, she was like, well, it was a lot of cheating and stuff going on back then, too. She said it was she said cheating been going on. You know, and I said, oh, my God. You know, but it all added up. It just, with time, it got to be this way. Everything takes time. So, you know, it's a disconnect from the ancestors. You know, and that's the difference. We have, over time, we have disconnected. It didn't just happen overnight. It happened with stages, you know. And what we see today is a product of yesterday. It's all connected. It's connected.
And slowly but surely, we have stopped having the desire, having the passion in ourselves to jump the broom anyway. You know what I mean? In the sense that, in the sense that they never wanted to recognize slave marriages or nigger marriages or what have you back in the day. But we jumped the broom anyway and tried to live, and not tried to live, but lived human despite it all. And we've had that spirit, and it's slowly, like we said, it's slowly but surely dying off. It's slowly but sure. People getting complacent with this and complacent with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, that's what it is.
But
well,
like I said, it boils down to what you said overall. Just like how you say not, you can't put everything and blame it. All right, I'm going to say not on a white man. But when it comes to dealing with certain people, you can't blame them. You get
right.
over that, and you had that choice to get over them the same.
True.
Mm-hmm. Everybody
Thank
has a role that they have to play, Al Tariq. You're absolutely right. And you guys all know me. I'm not for either one or the other. I'm for whatever is supposed to be productive and positive
mm-hmm.
and right to people, period. At least what makes people not be hurt. And I'm not talking about things that you just can't help. If something goes wrong, it's not going to be a pleasant situation. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this. I'm speaking specifically about a couple, that there is a specific situation. From that specific situation, what are your views on it? And in this respect, yeah, to a point, she too has a responsibility, because if she started to have any kind of questions in her mind, then it was up to her to make the choice to try to continue with it or not. But however, when you are being led by something, when you see it as one thing and that person's telling you that the person who's complaining about it is complaining from a wrong angle, and then they explain that that's not the situation, giving that person either the false belief or a misguided belief, okay, that it's worth staying with it. It's worth working it out. Okay? It's not the end that you thought it was. It's just that there's an issue that needs to be worked out. Okay? Then that's not giving the other person the right to choose in a sound, full supply of tools, in other words. Okay?
Right.
If you don't want to be bothered because you're not ready, then don't try to pull somebody in because you like the feeling you get from them. If you truly are in love and you just don't know what to do, that should be told too. Because that person gets the right to say, I can deal with this or I can't. When you're ready, come see me because I love you and I'll stick by you. But on the other hand, if it goes too long, no one person should be stuck because of their feelings or because you're telling them to do that. You're asking them to.
Yeah. Well, that's leading a person on. When you're doing that, you're actually leading them on, because if that's something that you just keep doing, consistency is something else. Rather, it's consistent within the right confines or the wrong ones. So if you're consistently telling that person
if the person doesn't really know that that's the situation, like they can't grasp in their head that they have a problem they have to work on, or that they can't really do that with another person in their life that they're not ready to share with, then they need not to let that person be in the picture. And not so much from a leading them on aspect, but from the fact that I don't know how to deal with me. So I can't have them in too, because if that person is going to start to be something that gets on your nerves, or is more of a confusion for you, but you're the one that's still making them come in. And what's getting me is this woman, even after he's saying this over and over again, is still not sort of holding him to it, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Okay.
She's still not going, well, honey, when do you want to get married? Well, are you still sure you want to get married? She's pretty much just living the relationship out. It's like she's scratching her head, she's crying, you know, at the same time. But, you know, he's like not saying, bear with me, I'm really just going through something and I know it's unfair or whatever, or even being willing to let her go.
It's not even about letting her go. All right, she's making a decision to stay.
I made the decision to stay.
This is not about him. He's going to do what he's going to do. what he's been doing. It's about her and her deciding that, look, I can't give any more of the best part of my life to this mess. I'm moving on. She has to make a decision. Why is she giving him the power to make that decision for her? That's what I would ask her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I will agree with the point you made earlier, DC, when you said that men really don't have to commit anymore, because a lot of us women are allowing us to we're accepting half-ass. That's what I call it. We're accepting, like, you know, half a package all the time. We're giving them the best of us. And let me make this very clear. Men, women are doing it too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're not standing up and saying to yourself that, look, I get it, you know, things are good with us and the whole nine, I believe it could be something, but this is what my beliefs are, this is what my goals are, and at some point in time, you got to get with it because I don't want anything less. But you got to be in it to win it, and you pretty much got to be, you know, you've got to be willing to go through the long run no matter how long you... No matter what is going on at the time, we can get through it, but at some point, getting through it, I'm expecting that it's going to be to where our goal is. And if you're not going to do that, then I'm going to back off.
Right.
Okay? And if you're not... go ahead.
I told a guy just last week before last, who hit me up. You know, I'm like, this brother, what's wrong with him? I couldn't see anything, you know, based on what I knew, the limited stuff that I knew. But I told him, I said, you know, brother, I wouldn't present me to anybody right now. I got issues. I'm not at a place where I even want to consider sharing myself with someone else, because I'm right now I'm being selfish. I'm being me. I'm going when I want to go. I'm coming when I want to come. I'm buying what I want. I sleep when I want, eat when I want. I answer to no one. And for me to get with this brother just to have, say, companionship would not be right, because he is looking for something more. He's not looking for, I'm not going to say all I want is a booty call, but he's looking for a relationship. I'm not looking for a relationship right now. I don't want to fall in love. I don't want anybody calling me every day, knowing my whereabouts, whatever. I want, 2 weeks ago, I woke up and said, you know, I think Thursday I'm going to jump on a plane and go to San Fran. I spent Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and came home Sunday morning after having a ball in San Francisco. Nobody even knew where I was, other than a couple of people on Facebook that saw me post saying, I'm out of here. I don't want to give that up right now. That's not something I'm willing to do. So why involve this brother who was attractive to my eye, who looked like he had things going on? I'm not even going to go down that road with him. I'm not going to try to make him live the life that I've chosen to live, because it's not fair to him. I told him, I said, hey, I can't do it right now, but if things change, can I come back and check you out? And he looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, oh, well, I don't know what to tell you then. That's all I can do. You know?
That's just being honest.
It was being honest, and you were being responsible, and you did what you were supposed to do. Because, you know, there's so many situations that come out from misconstrued communication. Okay?
Right.
If somebody you know likes you, offers to help you out with a bill or with something that's going on, and you sat there and you tell them, listen, no, thank you, and they say, look, no strings attached, I just want to help you out and do whatever, and you going along and saying, look, I want to make it clear, I do need the help. If I do accept this from you, it's going to be on a business basis, blah, blah. Now, if that person is hearing what you said and decides to go along anyway and think what they think, or think it was an open door, in a way, was it on you? Was it on them? What?
Mm-hmm.
know, I told you I spoke with, I had a situation, those of you that listened in on my victimization statement, where the person that attacked me, I had a feeling that, you know, doing any little thing with this person would not be taken in a light manner. And this person decided that even with me not giving him any signs or any openings, that he wanted what he wanted, pretty much. You know, so even with you doing everything you can to be careful not to give the person the wrong idea, if they have a certain idea, some people are going to do what they're going to do anyway. So yep. Your job is to do as much as you can to not make it happen. That way you can always sort of be in the clear. But in a respect like this, to have a person, knowing a person has your heart and knowing that you have theirs, and they're giving you everything based on the trust that they have, you know, on that basis, and you know that there's stuff going on with you, or even if you don't know it consciously, you know something's up.
Yeah.
Then you're not ready, and that should be understood. You shouldn't say things you're not ready to deal with. So in our last 10 minutes, let me have a consensus here. Actually, our last 3 minutes. Should she break it off for a while or separate and let him get it together and move on with her life? And if it happens, it happens. And I'll start with you, Deacon.
I think that would be the best thing for her to do, because right now she's giving him too much control.
Okay. You, Al-Tariq?
Yes. Well, sometimes, you know, like how I said, DC, I believe, sometimes you it's like you can really love that person, you know. So the choice is in, you know, the ball is in her court. If she feels as though he's going to come, she'll wait anyway. But if she knows in her heart of her heart that he's not really going to be right, then, yes, she does need to move on. If he can show some signs, and if they can be friends and stuff like that, and he can, and he's making strides, that's a different thing, you know. But besides that, she needs to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Halo.
Shoot, I would agree with that, and I would just agree with if you know the person. I just feel like they should confront the issues that they have, you know, and they need to open the line of communication and really see what they need to do. It sounds like the man himself is, it sounds like he's trying to create a dependency, you know, and it sounds like, you know, she's trying to figure out if she's going to play along or not, basically, to me. But who knows? Who knows?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Point blank. Yeah. He is okay with dealing with him and waiting, then she needs to wait and not complain. If she is not okay with dealing with him and waiting, then she needs to end the relationship and move on into her future. And it's simple as that. It's her choice, not his.
Right. Right.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Simple as that. It's just that today it's really sad. People are having a hard time dealing with honesty. And in life, honesty is the best policy, because it avoids a whole lot of mess.
Yep. All right. Well, the bottom line is that everybody has a heart and a right to live and to be able to make a sound decision with all two factors on the table. If you are not ready, if there's the slightest bit of hesitation on something you presented to the table, then by all means, take time out not to mention it before you're together. Now, I'm running down to less than a minute, so everybody, tomorrow is our Spread Your Wings Showcase in the afternoon. Until Monday night, everybody, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference, and thank you all for coming in tonight.
All right.
Thank you.
I got you. All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.